Oh, I recognize that face. You're in trouble, aren't you? Well, I'll take you out to the Outer Rim, but I don't think it's going to do you much good. Why? Well, there's a new bounty hunting group. You haven't heard?
There's a Two-Faced Twi'lek and a Pugilist Droid. If I were you, I'd do my best to avoid the Solonian Captain and the Gandroid Tech. Better watch your back or you're gonna get wrecked. The riding on the sky on fire, heading to the edge of the Empire. Your number's up and now you gotta pay. Running from the heroes of the Hadean Way.
Previously on Heroes of the Hadean Way, Cav took their ship family on a trip to Formos to hear a Cluehorn player, in spite of their curious reticence. Their arrival was delayed when Vorin happened upon a protocol droid in distress, in time to receive a final request. Save R4W9, an astromech friend. Cav agrees without pause, and Billy is there to help. At the same time, Vorin and Barrowin discover a hapless Rodian lurking in the shadows. A simple instance of mistaken identity, but he becomes a source of information as Barrowin interrogates. Smugglers, thugs, and an aqualish of interest await. But who will find them first? Find out on this week's episode, This Gan Doesn't Have a Cluehorn.
Welcome to Heroes of the Hadean Way. This is a live play podcast that explores published adventures set in the Fantasy Flight Games Star Wars RPG line. Currently, we are playing Trouble Brewing, and it can be found in the Edge of the Empire core book. And this is episode 2. And I'm Ben, the GM for this adventure.
This Gan's name is Cav. Cav is a talented pilot and a fearsome bounty hunter. Actually, this Gan hopes to be those things, but is more accurately a technician and a droid tech. Please don't tell Barrowin.
I'm Brandon, and I'll be playing Barrowin, the Solonian ship captain, in addition to running the ship and being team mom, apparently. She mostly keeps Cav's ambition in check.
Thank you for attending today. My name is Billy, and I welcome you to this podcast. I am played by Leslie.
And I'm David, and I play Vorin Afa, who is a Twi'lek smuggler gambler and prefers to be paid for the jobs that he does. And so far today, well, we've only made 50 credits, and all of that went to Cav for fixing a box.
I believe Cav intends to share.
Oh, wonderful. I have 10 credits coming my way.
Seriously, though, are you Russian? I'm confused. Aren't Twi'leks supposed to be French?
Vorin is Vorin.
Vorin's accent is decipherable if you think about it for a long time. It's not really any one thing. It's more of a... If anything, it's supposed to be slightly Spanish, but we'll see what it ends up being.
It's a little sharp to be Spanish, but I'm enjoying the process.
And to get to know our characters a bit better, we have a question asked between the player characters to start off every episode. And today we have Barrowin.
All right, this is a question for Vorin. On account of your hunt, my ship, and I've occasionally heard of gamblers gambling away ships. A, it's not yours. Don't bet it. But B, what is the most valuable thing you've ever lost on a gamble?
That's a great question.
I would have to say that the most valuable thing I have ever lost... He sort of absentmindedly fingers the side of his face. Actually, it's more the back of his head underneath where his right leku is. And there's like a big scar there. It's like a big X, almost. And it's pretty bad. It doesn't look like it was a good, clean cut. And he says, it depends on what you mean by a gamble, but I've lost a good portion of my ravishing good looks to a particular bet that I had to make.
Uh-huh.
But it paid off, because I'm here now, and I do not have a bomb in my head.
Well, it sounds like you came out ahead of them on that one, didn't you? If the bomb isn't in your head anymore.
Team mom, dad jokes across the board. You're just going to take up all the parental...
That wasn't even on purpose, unlike earlier when I asserted that David seemed to be taking his time when you asked if he was Russian.
I didn't hear you say that.
I didn't hear you say that, or I would have laughed at the time.
We'll laugh now.
That's all to say, dad jokes, yes, but that one was not on purpose.
Of course.
Insert line about pun intentional right now. Shall we continue?
All puns are retroactively intentional.
Meanwhile, in the Biscuit Baron.
As you enter the lobby of the Baron, you're aware of a change in atmosphere. The air conditioning alone is almost as refreshing as the beverages served at the well-appointed bar, promised to be. The Baron is clearly a popular spot for locals to mix, though it isn't so crowded as to make it impossible for you to get seats. All manner of humans and aliens rub shoulders at the bar, and they even are happy to let droids in. To your right is a flickering hollow screen that displays a rotating head as though of a tough-looking adult male aquilish, with a scrolling text advertising an imperial bounty. The Baron consists of two levels, the main level with a breakfast bar, and a circular balcony level above with semi-private booths. The balcony is not too high above the first floor, making the whole arrangement feel more intimate and closed than its size would suggest. One side of the Baron, the balcony is broken by a raised stage upon which Fiamond, billed as a Celestian master of the Cluehorn, plays his instrument. His playing is essentially a freeform jazz, incorporating a surprising baccarat influence. It shouldn't really work, but he makes something fresh out of it, and generally seems to be receiving approving response from the audience.
That's because that Celestian is a genius.
When Cav sees the big, like, hollow of the Aqualish with the bounty on it, Cav will say,
"Well, that was a freebie."
In turn. And say,
"This is how the crew will make money. Rescuing W9.
So Barrowin's still looking for Vrebo, since we paused mid-chase.
Off to one corner of the breakfast bar, there's individual people, coffee, and other assorted drinks in behind. You can see that this place, it's kind of got, like, yeah, glass tile in behind, but it is still, it feels a lot more close in than it actually is. Like, moving between tables is not anywhere near an issue. This Rodian is sitting at the end of the bar, just sort of cowering, looking over his shoulder. Oh, no, they found me. Just trying to look small at the corner there.
I'll start crossing the restaurant in his general direction. Not aggressively, necessarily, unless he tries to bolt again.
Vorin will pick the most likely angle of bolting and also approach, but he will be flashing a smile. Not a razor smile this time, because now he recognizes a lucrative financial incentive to not make this kid run away. He attempts to make a friendly smile, but he has no ranks in charm.
Who needs ranks in charm?
Yeah, he can lie, although Barrowin doesn't know that and never will.
Barrowin doesn't necessarily not know what lying is.
No, but she'll just never actually catch Vorin doing it if he can help it.
In theory. Well, actually, sometimes lying is opposed by discipline, which she is not terrible at. Mostly just because her willpower is not too shabby. Anyhow.
As you get in close, you can see one of his sucker-tip-fingered hands up on his face, just trying to, "Don't recognize me, don't recognize me, don't recognize me." Completely, utterly failing, like looking amazingly suspicious. The two of you, Vern and Barrowin, meet up, like, right behind him. It's like, "They found me."
Vrebo!
Vern's like to slide into the booth right next to him, actually.
Like, he's sitting at, like, a bar stool.
Oh, okay, never mind. I'll hop up on the bar stool next to him, then.
Okay.
I'll do the paw on the shoulder thing on the other side of him.
Vrebo, it's, kind of rude to just run away like that. Least of all when we just figured out that there was credits involved.
Credits? What do you mean credits? Look, my crew, they're not as bad as what you say. And I'm not supposed to give... If I give them up, even if I went with you, you'd always think I'd be giving you up.
We approached him from behind, right? Like, he's got his back to us.
So you mentioned earlier that he has a blaster at the small of his back. Can we see that?
Oh, yeah.
Can I would like to reach behind him while this is going on and just pluck it and put it on the bar in front of us, if possible. I don't want him holding a blaster in his state right now.
He's distracted, so you're going to get a few boosts for this, like two. But I'm still figuring that this should be a...
Skullduggery.
Opposed. Skullduggery or coordination type thing.
I can do skullduggery. It's opposed, so do I need to roll anything for him or difficulty at all?
Can I assist?
Sure.
Because I do have decent ranks in... Well, I have a rank in coordination, if that's what you're using.
I'm using skullduggery, because I have a rank in that.
In that case, I would only give you a boost, but...
I'll take a boost. And I have... So my final pool for me is yellow, two greens, and two boosts.
He's jumpy as all get out. I'm figuring that this kid is going to be two setback, one purple, and one red, since I've used a destiny point.
All right, so final pool, a yellow, two greens, two blues, two setbacks, a purple, and a red.
Very nice.
One success, one triumph, and four threat.
You just slam it down on the bar stool and it just goes off.
I was thinking that it would leave there.
I wasn't quite sure as to whether it was going off as it's getting picked up, sort of like shooting at the floor behind him, or...
I think Vorin knows enough not to draw a gun by slipping his finger through the trigger loop, but we might be proven wrong on this.
Well, it is for threat.
I think the kid jumps out of his skin when you touch him, and he just splashes his drink all over you.
In the kind of clothes that Vorin wears, that might actually be for threat, but I don't think really it would be.
It could be two threat.
You know, his blaster on the whole trigger discussion, it may not have a trigger guard. I mean, Rodian fingers, long, suctiony, they don't often have them.
That's true.
It could also be modified with like a hair trigger or something to make it even more liable to go off.
Well, that gives me an interesting idea for the triumph then. If we're going to say this gun is going off because it's got like a, you know, a hair trigger, what if the triumph is that he's actually got his hands on a really nice holdout blaster? Like, that's got a set trigger. And that's not something you normally find in the employ of, you know, a very low-level criminal.
Also, David likes set triggers.
Okay, I kind of like that. Yeah, that too.
Well, you were the one who brought up the hair trigger.
Okay, so this goes off. You slam it down on the bar top. It goes shooting off into the wood paneling. Doesn't ricochet at all. Just a smoking circle there. Where the Nikto in behind, like wearing like white shirt, white apron that's kind of dirty from all the different things, a coffee stain going across, and or a calf stain, and comes over like, no blasters, no blasters.
I was simply attempting to enforce your policy on our friend here. And I tap him on the shoulder. See, there are no blasters now.
Who is going to pay for this? Like, you, why are you shooting at the wall? Are you trying to intimidate him? This little wastrel?
No, I was in fact not attempting to shoot the wall at all. I apologize for setting off a gun. Vorin's very flustered because he's still kind of in the aftershock of having a gun go off he wasn't expecting to have explode near him.
All right. I've got my eye on you. No more funny business, you.
And the Nikto's just scowling, like, leaning over, fists on the bar top, leaning pretty much into Vern's face.
I've got my eye on you. Any more of this, and out!
Loud and clear, boss.
And I'm actually gonna just take the opportunity and slip the blaster into my own small of my back. Under my suit coat. Just out of sight, out of his way.
I'm going with him noticing, or that whole thing costing two, or three, and you taking a strain for the last.
All right, take a strain. This is so not his normal style at all. It's completely unsmooth.
Billy would have come in and acknowledging what Vern told her about, you know, okay, some of these weird biologicals might be off-put by... a droid corpse, which makes zero sense. She just kind of steps in and steps one side and is kind of hanging out by the door watching things happen. Like, she never loses track of Vuren, but she's kind of hanging out with a droid corpse in her arms by the door, nonchalant.
Vuren is really embarrassed right now.
And by nonchalant, I mean she's standing bolt upright, like, at attention, holding this, what, half a protocol droid?
Yeah.
I'll send a picture later, but yeah, it's essentially a very sad-looking half a protocol droid.
I just have this weird image of you using it like a marionette. Or not a marionette, like one of those little, like,
A ventriloquist dummy?
That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I'm not Amp.
No, Billy is a much more serious droid.
Anyway, so yes, I've blown a hole in the bar by accident.
And attracted all kinds of attention.
And yeah, after that, just all conversation had stopped. Everyone's glaring at Vuren. And then after the Nikto turns and all the conversation starts back up, it's like, oh yeah, don't you know, Sandy was off. And then just the rubber of the standard, just
and the music
a lot of people talking. Yeah, exactly.
What color does Vuren blush?
Probably a darker orange. He's pretty orange at this point. He's considering ordering food just so that he has an excuse not to look up at people, which should tell you something, because this is not food he would relish eating.
Cav will help with that.
With eating or ordering?
With the eating.
Actually, yeah, where is Cav with this?
Cav has coupons, right?
Cav has coupons.
Okay, I can just sort of see, like, halfway down the bar, there's Cav with coupons in hand, and the Nikto's just sort of slightly
shaking. It's a little awkward, because as we're going through, some of them have already expired, because, you know, like, Galactic Standard Date, it's, you know, it's a little hard to keep track of things, and some of them are only like, oh, well, this is for the Biscuit Baron on Coruscant only, and we're just kind of going through until we have, like, three valid coupons, which, like, turns it at least into, like, a buy one, get one free situation or something.
Yeah, and then there's, like,
one free drink with a large order of biscuits.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's, like, one large, or one small calf with a large calf, and stuff like that. And there's three stacks of coupons. One just flat expired. The other one's, like, not this location, and the third stack is just those three. So, yeah. All right, fine. Folding out a box to get the two dozen biscuits to go in.
Cav's calf.
Getting the...
And Cav will also go to the trouble of getting like the calves for Barrowin and Vuren and Cav as well. Although notably, since it was like, I get a large calf, get a small calf thing, Cav puts the small calf in front of Vuren, gives a large one to Barrowin.
Vuren is so embarrassed he just starts drinking it because he can't believe he just did that. He starts drinking the calf and he doesn't even make a complaining sound.
Cav pours a good deal of sugar and cream into Cav's calf.
Okay, and yeah, for Vuren, it is just a piece of something that got picked up on the way to the bar flagging down the Nikto. It's like Vuren's has what was called a double-double, where it's got two shots of cream, two slugs of sugar in it, in this small
further
calf.
Ruining it for Vuren, but he doesn't care at the moment.
Cav goes ahead, like, once Cav has the bunch of biscuits, sits down beside Vuren, acting like nothing's wrong, starts eating a biscuit, tries to say something. K1 tells Cav,
"Swallow before you talk. I can't translate through that mess."
And then Cav will just ask,
what's the crew doing?
We just found our friend Vrebo, who wandered off, but we're back together now.
Vrebo didn't run very far. Why did Vrebo run here?
Nom nom.
Is that what a Gan sounds like?
It can't have been for the
calf. Why did Vrebo run here?
My crew, they said they were going to meet me here, but now you're here and they're never going to show up. Why did you follow me?
Well, it sounds like you're in trouble. And see, Vrebo, we're bounty hunters. We're the good guys.
what do you mean? Are you bounty hunters or are you the good guys?
Both of those things. why are all of you giving me strange looks? We hunt down criminals who could go, you know, never mind.
Berwyn is what most sentients call idealistic.
This sounds like a conversation that's been had before.
Look, there are a few bad seeds, maybe, in the Bounty Hunters Guild. It's I of all people know that better than some, but we're the good ones. You can tell because Vern here, if I were a bad person, wouldn't be on my ship anymore. As you can tell from his performance so far. Motion to the hole in the wall.
That's still smoking.
Vuren just kind of smolders and says, and he just like smoldering glare at Berwyn, and then he turns his attention back to Vribo, slides the calf in front of him, puts his hand on his other shoulder and says, "Look, kid, we're talking to you because your boss is worth credits to us. Now, I'm not above sharing the wealth a little," and he slides 2 10-credit chips across the table, not removing his fingers from them yet, and says, "If you had to help in figuring out where we can find your boss."
Rather awkwardly,
former boss.
Cav moves in a little bit closer and also puts Cav's hand on Rebo's shoulder, just following
and
the
slides in biscuits.
Of and eating biscuits with their other hand, but they're following the example of Cav's 2 mentors.
That's such a terrible choice of mentors, at least for it.
Yeah.
Is.
I have to say, unless that's a euphemism for something, right? Like,
I don't believe it is.
Biscuits and coffee are Cav's mentors.
No. Vuren and Berwyn are.
Oh, well, that was...
You'd be better off with the biscuits and coffee.
Kinda is. Okay. Yeah.
This poor kid.
Oh, no. There is... No. I can't know if word got out about that. Oh.
Who's gonna tell him?
At which point, he looks over Cav's shoulder, and then just sort of stops.
Maybe we should turn and follow his gaze?
Yeah, Cav looks over Cav's shoulder.
Of which you see, like, 2 or 3 tables that are definitely within earshot that they're still talking, but you can tell they're sort of talking fairly.
Is there an Aqualish in the room?
No, not the... Well, there's a few, but actually, no, there isn't. They're somewhat from a more humid environment. They don't really like it here in Fomos. You can see that he is just... If it wasn't that he had natural sort of a brownish tint to his skin, he would just be absolutely ashen. Like, as such, he just looks like the blood is... escape from his face. He is absolutely terrified. More terrified of anyone outside. It's like, yeah, there's this big furry guy, this scary insect, and this Twi'lek who's full of teeth, but they're only 4.
Here, have a biscuit.
dunk it in the calf for him, Cav. That's how I like it.
And then just put it in his mouth, which is probably drooping open.
Needs to be soft for that like long mouth thing that they've got.
Cav follows the instructions, dumps the biscuit in some calf, and then passes it, still kind of dripping, where Vuren even has to like move his arm out of the way so it doesn't get like calf on him. Passes it.
He does so very quickly.
To Vribo.
He's like dusting his sleeve off just in case anything got on it, and as he does this, he just like looks back up at Vribo and says, listen, friend, you seem to be a bit nervous, And he looks up at Berwyn. Don't we have something for nerves in the infirmary back on the sky fire? Or the sky on fire?
I'm sure we've got some kind of sedative.
We would be terrible friends, indeed, if we were not to help our friend with his nerve problem. Perhaps Vribo could accompany us back to the ship and we could, help him a little bit there.
The crew does have to bury a droid.
We have to what?
Yeah, a Doug. Comes up, and the Dugs are these wonderfully weird people that have, they walk on their hands and manipulate with their feet, because it actually looks kind of cool. Weird, but cool, with these long snouts, and this one just sort of comes up, jumps up onto the stool next to Varen, because if I remember right, Cav is standing, and just in a exaggerated movement, holds a single toe up to their snout, saying, "Shh, are you daft? Look, you people ought to get to know your way around here before you start going assuming that anyone around here knows such things just because they happen to be from here on Formos. Understand? Oh, look, I can see you like you're new here. So why don't you just grab a drink like a good little gand here and relax. Enjoy the music. I mean, Mund here is one of the best jazz players going.
Here, have a biscuit." Cav likes this dog.
Don't mind if I do. Grabs a...
Cav just stuffs a biscuit in his mouth? Is that what's happening?
Cav is holding out biscuits to people for them to then take. Cav is not force feeding them.
I'm almost disappointed by that. I like the idea of Vrebo sitting there with his mouth agape and Cav dunks, offers. It's not taken, so she just gently sets it in his mouth.
That would be difficult to do with a Rodian, but...
She vibrates her exoskeleton to make, like, airplane noises.
That scares me
here,
a lot.
Here, have a biscuit.
Yeah, have which. Thank you. And with his free foot, the one that hadn't been right by his mouth, grabs it in just sort of the sweeping grab, takes it up to his mouth, grabs half of it, and hops down off. Oh, he's with the new people. And one of the things that, like, Billy has sort of picked up on is, if anything, the cantina, like, while the only thing that's sort of interesting that comes up is about the music, of which a lot of fans are in attendance. Otherwise, the talk, the small talk, seems to be aggressively mundane. Like people talking about broken down car or like sisters and brothers and that sort of stuff. Like very, like nothing of business is going on, unlike almost any other place anyone has ever been in. This place just sort of seems to be aggressively mundane with how everyone's talking.
All right. Well, I mean, obviously Billy is keeping a close eye on the party, but she would be listening and kind of paying attention to what's going down around. And since she's not, you know, biological, she's just standing there. She doesn't even have to shift her weight. She just kind of is. And in doing so, she kind of becomes part of the scenery. Like people kind of look at her like, oh, there's a droid. That's it's a little weird, but whatever, you know. So she's just going to keep listening and watching. And since the Doug didn't seem to be threatening, you know, she wasn't too fussed about that. But I mean, if you want her to be percepting things, she will happily percept.
Actually,
are there any games going on, or is it just the music?
It actually is just the music and a bunch of people just sort of sitting around. Like some people have like meals in front of them. A couple others have like the remnants of meals and a beer bottle next to them. Otherwise, it's mostly people sitting back and listening to the music, talking, and it's very, like, still would go with, like, it is, like, no one, even with your sensors, yeah, you're just not really hearing any, like, no one's talking about business, no one's talking, like, one of the things that everyone, like, all of your party knows is that this place does, this is at a crossroad in, of different paths in space, so it's just, smuggling happens here. A lot of smuggling happens here as well. Some people were just accosting you in the alleyways getting here. But, like, normally in a place like this, people would be discussing not so much happening.
Yeah, that's actually freaking Vuren out a little bit now that he's noticed it.
That's too normal.
And, well, he's actually starting to suspect that, well, I don't know how much I want to say he's going to be able to suspect because I haven't made a roll for it or anything. I do have two ranks in knowledge underworld, so I kind of want to see if maybe Vuren has ever heard of an entire cantina that's sort of, if anything, if he's ever heard of a cantina like this that nobody discusses business at all, because he's getting really weirded out.
And this one's going to be a 2 purple and a red.
Okay.
Just because Vern's trying to, like, rack his brain, like, discussing this a little bit with Berwyn and Kev. And maybe a tiny bit with Vrebo.
Yeah, he doesn't want to, you know, engage Vrebo too much, because it feels like every time that they try to talk to Vrebo in this place, people notice. So that would make my roll 2 yellows, 2 purples, and a red. So let's see what happens here. Success and an advantage.
No, you have not.
So I've never heard of a cantina that's this aggressively normal before.
Yes, you have. Generally, when you've heard of any place that is this aggressively normal, especially on a planet like this, this is one of those places where it isn't the boss's hangout, but this is a place where a lot of the boss's stooges go.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those things of where a stooge may just walk in and no one's wanting to be stopping what they're talking about, because that's happened and bad things have happened. But you do have an advantage there. Is there anything that you're going to do with the advantage, or I do have a slight idea?
If you've got an idea, go for it, because I don't have one right now.
All right. So off at the other end of the bar, there's a Nikto who's set down what actually everyone else here looks like they're drinking coffee, beer, like very normal, like almost kind of diner type stuff. You don't see any carafes of wine out or anything like that, no mixed drinks. Except for this guy at the end. And even he doesn't look like he's got that much of a special thing to it. It's just where other people have, like, beer bottles, he has a large glass of beer. Like an actual stein of beer that looks like it's chilled, sitting next to him. And yeah, it's this Dvorian. A male Dvorian with... let's go with dark olive skin and fairly pointy horns.
Ah, okay. So the beer was waiting for him when he sat down? Or is it just that he's the only one drinking out of a glass?
He's the only one drinking out of an actual stein. Like,
okay.
It almost looks like this person isn't that afraid of being noticed.
All right. Well, Vrun will look at Cav, because he doesn't know... He's pretty sure Berowyn cannot keep a cool poker face if she knows this, and he's just gonna whisper in Cav's ear that
auditory membrane
it doesn't look like this is the sort of place where we are going to be able to discuss anything important. I suggest we do as the Doug suggests. Enjoy the music, and but don't let Vrebo leave. We need something he knows. Realizing now that they serve alcohol here, he's going to order a beer and watch the Dvorian. Actually, you know what? No, Vorin's not a beer drinker. He's going to order a wine.
Cav nods to what Vrun said, pulls back out their sunglasses and puts them on, and then, like, looking back at the crowd, just quietly reaches back for another 6 biscuit, brings it to Cav's mouth.
Uh-huh.
Vorin absentmindedly picks up a biscuit and takes a bite before he realizes what he's done. And he just sort of sets it down with a grimace.
What more disturbing probably to Vorin is when Cav is done with the biscuit currently in Cav's hand. Cav reaches out, takes the half-eaten biscuit, and finishes it for you.
Vorin doesn't really feel like finishing his wine now.
Alright. So yeah, you were able to get a glass of wine, and as Vrun sets his wine glass down again, this Deveronian turns around, setting his stein down. Everyone can see that's empty. Snaps his fingers and notices the 3 people at the other end of the bar and swaggers over.
Here, have a biscuit.
Oh, thank you so much. But I am very full for today. I could not help but overhearing that you were asking about some sensitive topics. Some topics that people have learned to not ask.
Why does everybody eavesdrop? It's just kind of dishonest.
There's really not much to do here. There's Mund has been here for a week. We're all pretty... He's great, but... I mean, really.
Well, this crew meant no offense. This crew simply wanted some calf and biscuits.
Of course.
Vorin will take this moment to dramatically swivel around on his bar stool, or at least as dramatically as one can swivel around on a bar stool.
Roll a coordination check. Despair, he falls off.
Wine glass in hand in a dramatic pose, or again, what he thinks is suitably dramatic. And I'd honestly like to flip a light side point, because you said there was a screen earlier that had been displaying the Aqualicious face. So I'd like to swivel around, look right at this guy, and then point behind him at the screen with the Aqualicious face at it, and say, "So, what do you know about that guy?"
Takes a quick look over his shoulder. "If you can make it worth my while, I can tell you anything about him that is known."
"Yeah, I think we can arrange that." And he'll take the credits that had been in front of Vrebo, snatch them off the table, and kind of hold them out between splayed fan fingers on display.
"I am sorry, but I am a man of exquisite taste."
"Ah, as am I."
"Shall we say 50?
50. And Vorin's going to realize he only has 25 credits on him. So he'll hold out 25 credits, and then he'll sort of like toe at Cav. Nudge Cav very like gently. But yeah, no, he'll say, 50 credits we can do." Never breaking poker face, even though he's only holding 25.
Cav kind of like looks offended at Vorin for a moment. Looks at this Deveronian. Looks back at Vorin. Cav sighs, which takes a little bit more effort than it does for other beings with lungs. And it's kind of like a full body thing. And then takes out 25 credits and passes them to Vorin.
50 credits we can do.
"Oh, why, thank you." And then takes the credits from Vorin, slips them into his inside pocket of the jacket, tugs it so that the jacket's now laying very flat against him. "Well, you see, foremost here, it is a great place if you know much about bounty hunting or handling contraband, but people have grown to be very untrusting of strangers. Prospective smugglers have to earn some respect around here and trust within the community for anyone to be open with them or to get contacts. With the way Bandon Domba is around here, in some ways, he is the one who runs this place. That Aqualish, he runs a smuggling ring that operates out of here. It's a bit... a ring might make it seem a little bit more firm than it is. It's more of a franchise. And there are bits and pieces of this ring everywhere. One might even call them cells, even though I would swear that the Imperials around here are part of it. Bandon is at the top of this hierarchy and takes a cut of all profits. The one that's showing, it shows for 10,000, and it's an Imperial bounty.
That could buy a lot of biscuits.
And droid parts.
As Bandon heads up this ring and takes a cut of the profits, he does provide his reputation and also his muscular support.
He doesn't happen to employ trapdoors in the street by any chance?
What? No. Who? What? What kind of smuggler would use a trapdoor in alleyways or streets? It's just begging.
Well, I can't say that I was overly impressed by those people that we met, but just thought I'd ask. Continue.
It takes all kinds of smugglers.
To do what?
To smuggle.
Oh. I mean, one kind would be fine, wouldn't it?
No, because then the Imperials would just get wind of that kind, and then they would be able to stop them all the time.
No. I suppose that does make sense.
And that would be a bad thing.
Oh, Voren senses this conversation is slipping away from him, and he's trying to save it desperately, so he's just like, oh, of course, it would be terrible, it would be awful, it would be the worst thing I could ever imagine. But, friend.
Yes?
This Mr. Doba, you mentioned he was sort of the head honcho around here, yes?
Yes, even though he has. I have also heard of others looking for him. I mean, there was a Rodian bounty hunter coming through here not too long ago. In fact, some weeks back, a Rodian bounty hunter appeared in this band. The way that he made it sound, it wasn't that he was looking for an Imperial bounty. He made it sound like there was a hut that was also looking for this Doba's head.
This Doba appears to be quite the popular fellow.
What does the hut pay?
I just heard that to the tune of What Does the Fox Say?
That's why I started laughing. I was trying not to.
I want somebody to make that music video.
No.
What does a hut pay?
Blood and treachery. I felt left out.
The hut's name is Thakba Basadi and Diore.
I'm not even gonna try.
Oh my gosh.
The best part is I know that like more than 50% of these names are just are from the module.
Oh, no. So far you've just every name module.
So Voren shows off a little bit for his crew here, and he's like, Basadi clan, they make a lot of money. They make a lot of credits, they spend a lot of credits. And he's just trying to prove that he's valuable to the crew with that statement. Shamelessly pandering.
This 5,000 is harder than the Imperials because this Aquilish must be delivered alive.
To the hut or to the Imperials?
Wait, the huts are offering 5,000?
The huts are offering 5,000 for alive.
And the Imperials are offering 10,000 for dead or alive?
Yes. Dead or alive. With proof. On the other hand, they're Imperials.
Yeah, but, I mean, if they're paying more.
Exactly. Your principles have very little.
If you're looking at Imperials or a hut, I mean, neither are good options to work for. So.
Yes. I mean, morally, I feel better about the Empire, though.
Wow.
Financially, I feel better about the Empire.
Morally and financially, I feel better about the Empire.
Well, because here's the other thing. If we take them to the hut, they'll probably die very slowly. Like, very slowly. Like, so slowly.
As opposed to the Empire.
There might be some light torture involved with the Empire, but it'll be over once they get what they need to know.
But which one do you expect to pay? At least with a hut you can trust. That if they say a credit amount, you will get paid the credit amount for doing the work.
No, Wasenshi Bing can't. Even Cav knows this. Even Barrowin knows this.
I mean, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on you again.
That was a bad day.
Will not listen to a hut for a third time.
Cav is glad that Barrowin's fur grew back.
Oh my.
So, friend, you seem like you are a knowledgeable sort. What would it take to find out where we might go to find this Doba?
I mean, can't we just ask Vrebo?
Is Vrebo still there during all of this?
I mean, I've been holding on to him.
Yeah, he's kind of surrounded.
Because Barrowin hasn't really left him.
Vrebo belongs to Barrowin now.
Well, this Doba, no one has seen him recently. He is around, his muscle is around all the time, shaking down places, coming in here, roughing up people. But him, no one has seen him. Even the bounty hunter came by a few weeks ago. He left, and no one has seen him since.
So, if no one has seen him, how do we know that the muscle coming around is Doba's?
Because some of the lieutenants that are here, some of these thugs, if they hadn't heard from Doba recently, they would be making a push for themselves.
I see.
They are nothing if not ambitious.
You mind pointing out one or two of these lieutenants for us?
If you wait, I am very sure that you will see some come through here.
And then Vern will sort of rotate back towards Cav and say, well, it looks like you're going to get more biscuits after all.
Cav is actually kind of full.
Wait, that's possible?
No one else is eating Cav's biscuits.
Oh, that dude ate one.
Only one.
Cav, did you want to, did you make up that whole wanting to come here for the music thing so that you could buy biscuits with those coupons?
At which point, I'm just sort of figuring Mund flies into Jedi Rocks.
Jedi Rock.
Even if Cav wasn't wearing sunglasses, Cav can't move, like, Cav's compound eyes. Kind of shifty-like. But there's definitely a pause there, as Cav says,
the combination worked out quite well. Here, have a biscuit.
Barrowin will take a biscuit.
It's worth noting that, like, a third of the biscuits in the box are already gone.
That's impressive.
Of which I think we said it was a 20, it was a set of 24, so.
Yeah, you gave one to the Doug, you gave one to Vrebo.
Five? Four. Yeah, four and a half going to Cav.
Although, Cav taking us to this backwater world should prove quite profitable for the crew.
As this Devorian bows, I hope I have provided you with enough information, but if it is all the same to you, I shall return, since it appears that my drink has been refreshed.
Much appreciated, friend. I hope that your drink is as good as the first.
May that be the case. And yeah, he'll saunter over, sit down at the bar stool, picks up the stein, and starts drinking.
As that happens,
you notice two groups of people come in. Well, ones may not exactly be a group. First, you see an elegantly dressed Brodian woman who comes in and heads directly for the bar, to the bar, like halfway between your group and where Snow is, and orders herself a bit of food and drink. She's wearing a loose blouse of green satin with polished brass accessories, and she sets her moderately sized purse down on the bar with the top clasp open. As soon as she's finished ordering, there are three somewhat disheveled looking, shall we say, smugglers that come over. Two are human and the last is a weakway. They're pretty tough looking, one with pretty unkempt hair, and all of them looks like they've are in need of a shave and dressed in matching beige flight suits. The younger human has a scar on his upper lip and seems to leer at anyone who catches his eyes. And the weakway has three long braids on his very, very wrinkled skin.
I assume this is not the same weakway we met earlier.
No, it most certainly is not.
Did these people, like, she came in through the door. Did they as well?
They did. The three of them came in as a group. She did not. She seemed to be separate.
Cav will, like, nudge Vuren and ask questioningly,
Lieutenant?
When seeing the three disheveled-looking people enter.
It is a distinct possibility.
The young human sits down in the stool next to the Rodian, giving a leer as he slides up to her. But you can see her body language is screaming for him to get away from her.
You don't see many pretty Rodian girls in this place. What's that you're drinking, baby? Hey, Ree, let's have another one of those over here, will ya?
Can I hear all this where I am?
Yes.
All right, Billy has been watching all of this and just, you know, taking things in like she do. She's going to turn and very gently set the corpse on a window ledge. Like, she doesn't want to put him on the floor, so she kind of on the window ledge. And just wordlessly walks over to loom at the young human.
Vorin's going to grab his wine glass, walk over to where Billy is, and stand confidently. He's going to walk over like not a care in the world and stand in front of Billy and address the Rhodian woman. And he's going to say, "Ma'am, it is good to see you here." And he's sort of going to make a nod. I can't think of how to pronounce the word that I'm trying to say. Obsequiously at the Rhodian woman.
Obsequiously, I guess.
Obsequiously. That is the word I was looking for. He'll nod at her in a deferential manner. That's another word for it. And he'll say, "We have been waiting for you. It is good to see you here. If you'll come right this way, we have business to discuss."
At which point the young human just glares. "Oi, back off, will you? Us two here, we're getting to know one another. Mind your own criffin business if you know what's good for you, eh?"
Billy will put a relatively... Since we're doing the hand on the shoulder thing, I'll just keep that up because I feel left out that I didn't get one on Vrebo's shoulder. But she'll just set it heavily. Like, this is... She's not pushing, she's just letting the full weight of her long, long arm just kind of weigh down his one shoulder.
"I dare say, it might be you that does not know what is good for themselves."
And she just kind of cocks her head. And there's a little smile, diode smile, like, you know, this is friendly advice, man.
Vorin's getting out of Billy's way.
Where are the human's companions?
The other human is standing behind him and, like, looking on a bit more with a amused smirk. The Weequay's about halfway to the door.
While Billy is taking care of this, Berowyn will whisper to Vrebo that he shouldn't go anywhere because she's keeping an eye on him, and then just sort of surreptitiously move near-ish to the Weequay just in case something happens.
And Cav looks sort of confused, looks at Vrebo now that Berowyn's left, and then kind of looks over at Billy and Vrebo and kind of a like, "Wait a minute, where am I supposed to be? I didn't get the memo."
Berowyn, I guess, will point at the other human.
And then Cav will then try to nonchalantly get off of the stool and walk over towards that human.
The young one with a scar on his face had already like grabbed her arm as like, and then is going between her star-filled eyes and Varen and back. And then up looking into Billy, like starting at Billy's chest and going up. It's like, "Oh, yeah. Let's go," of her arm, brushes Billy's arm off, steps back, and it's like, it starts pointing first at Billy, then at Varen.
"You scuzzy bums, I'd be more careful about who you offend. This ain't worth my time."
And then storms out, of which, like, you can see on his way out, the people at the different tables are just, first off, they're just sort of putting their and meals back down on the table as if they're expecting their table to disappear. And also they're looking between that person and you and back again. And they did not expect it to go that way.
Billy's going to look over to Vernon and say, "I hope I did not interrupt anything."
"No, Billy, I think you did exactly what we needed you to do."
"Nice job, Billy."
"Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for dealing with them. If there is some way I can repay you, I would be happy to do you a favor. I have a little money. Perhaps you'd like some food and drink."
"I think we've had plenty of biscuits. We are looking for a smuggler, though."
"A smuggler, you say? Well, we might be looking for the same person."
"Well, that would be handy."
"How much does this Rhodian pay?"
"Don't need to shake down everybody we meet."
"If who you are talking about is the same person my brother was after, then we would be looking for the same person, for I fear my brother is dead."
"Your brother was not, by any chance, a bounty hunter?"
"Oh yes, Godan was."
"Huh. You wouldn't happen to know Vrebo, though, would you?" She'll point over at where she hopes Vrebo still is. "Do you seem to have a lot in common?"
"What, that young wastrel is a Rhodian and I am a Rhodian? How? Do we all look the same to you?"
"I mean, not literally the same, but..."
"I mean, really."
"What, your species aren't predominantly genetically identical? Because mine is."
Vorin tries to save the day, but we'll see how it goes. He says, what my friend here means, what Berowyn means, is simply that both you and Vrebo have ties to the same person. This
Mr. Noba that we've been hearing about, the smuggler that your brother was looking for. He seems to come up a lot these days. We would be interested in helping you find out what happened to your brother, if you have any leads for us. We are looking for Mr. Noba, and it seems we have similar purposes.
We may be looking for the same person, but what makes you think I know where they are? I came here in search of them, and now you're trying to connect me with this other youngling?
Maybe you should just handle this one, Vern. I'm gonna make myself scarce.
Vurin will sit down next to her and be careful to give her plenty of personal space because he doesn't want to accidentally remind her of the guy that she just had, you know, scared off by our friend the droid.
But he says, why don't you start at the beginning and tell me what you know? Tell me the story of how your brother came to be here and how you came to try to find him. It might help us to find him as well.
There was two things. First, I originally set out for Formos, looking to verify an atlas for an employer of mine. Star charts and the like. Getting the most up-to-date variety is so very, very hard. And if we're able to get the latest or the most refined, we'd be at a significant corporate advantage. And I had heard a repository of information out here, but that was all that I had heard. And then, on my way out into this sector, my brother sent word that he was on a hunt for an Aquilish. And now I have lost him.
My condolences, that sounds like a very difficult story to hear. Have you any indication that anything untoward has happened to your brother, specifically? Or is there hope he may still be alive?
He might be dead. If he hasn't brought in a bounty by now, there is scant hope. Sometimes a hunter engages in what might be called padding. On locating their quarry, they might deliberately delay capture in the hopes that the price on their head might increase, and while the quarry remains at large. Personally, I think it can be a clever ploy, but too many bounty hunters, it's condemned. Godan might be dead, but he also might be just padding.
Vurin will nod and as though he's, you know, tracking very well with what she's saying, and say,
but if your brother was simply padding, would he not have contacted you to let you know he was okay? Clearly, this is some cause for concern to you.
If he was able to, he might, but he might not be in a place where he can send a call, or he might be in trouble, which is what has me worried.
I cannot claim that our motives are entirely altruistic, however, if your brother truly was hunting for this Mr. Boda, it appears we may be in a position to help you find him.
For that, I would be most appreciative.
And he'll hold out his hand. Vurin Afa.
She'll put her hand in Vurin's.
You may call me Zucata.
Zucata, we have a ship not far from here. It's comfortable, private, more importantly, away from prying ears and unwelcome customers. Perhaps you would like to accompany us back, and we may compare notes.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Heroes of the Hydean Way. You can find show updates on Twitter at The Hydean Way, and you can find me, Ben, on Twitter at Deuterium Ice.
If you want to hear more from me, you can find me on Twitter at 12th Night. That's 1-2, T-H and Night with a K, where I can usually be found nerding out about something, probably Star Wars. In addition, I was a part of 3 RPG one-shots for International Podcast Month, playing with a variety of awesome folks in the general RPG actual play community. Such as Ross Rockefeller from Dicer Brains, Victoria from The Broadswords, Joey from Tales from the Five Nations, and so many more awesome people, where I got to play in a Tales from the Loop game, a Rhesus game, and I made my GMing podcast debut running a Force and Destiny game. And you can listen to those and find out more information over at internationalpodcastmonth.com.
You can find me on Twitter at Blue of the Kin.
And I'm still at Leslie GS. Leslie, Leslit. I'm going to go to bed now.
That's a long Twitter handle.
At Leslit GS, for those of you who are being obstinately straightforward.
You can tweet at AKA Agent Shades with a guess for what the heck Vorin's accent actually is.
We are all at theheidianway.com, where you can find previous episodes and our sister podcast, Tales from the Heidian Way.
Our podcasts are on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play, where you can find more episodes and help us out by rating and reviewing the show.
We're also on Facebook as Heroes of the Heidian Way. You can holocom us at heroes@theheidianway.com.
Or if you like what we do and want to support the show, you can find us at patreon.com/theheidianway.
Or donate a coffee to us at ko-fi.com/theheidianway.
And the obligation going into next week's episode is for Vern's blackmail.